word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. While I understand the gravity of this pandemic that we're going through in the world right now, I've been trying to keep an upbeat and encouraging spirit through it all, and I'm sure you have as well. I think that we understand that in times of crisis, it's imperative that the leaders in any institution, parents, just in general, in the community and at home, it's important that we remain calm, lest the panic of a situation become even more destructive than the situation itself. I have prayed that God would use me to help keep through the preaching of His Word the spirits of people high and faith strong throughout this tough situation that we're going through right now. But I must warn you that the message that I am presenting today on this program is a very serious message. And I believe that it will lead us to do some very deep and sobering soul searching. I want to take us to the book of Joel today. Joel was a prophet of God from the Old Testament, and the book that was written by him was written approximately 2,800 years ago. That would put it about 835 years before Christ came to this world. But the message of that book is timely, especially in light of what we are seeing on the evening news every night right now. 2020 has certainly been a year for the record books, and you know, it just seems to keep coming, you know, month after month after month, the stressful situations that we're dealing with right now. And that's why I think we will be able to connect with the message of the book of Joel, because he was living in a time where the people were going through a great trial. It was a turbulent time for the country where he lived, and people were facing a great challenge that was challenging them physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, much like what we're going through right now. I must admit, I rather stumbled upon this connection accidentally doing my daily Bible reading. And the more I read through this book, the more I thought, man, this sounds just like what we're going through right now in so many different levels. And I must admit that looking at it in that way, it startled me at first. And I kind of hope that it will have the same effect on each of you as we study from this book today. And I hope that will lead us closer to God. So let's open our Bibles, if you have them available and handy. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joel. And we'll do some reading from the first two chapters of this great book. Now, in the first part of this, we want to talk about a plague from God. And what we'll find out is that Joel describes a time that was unlike any other time that he or the people had ever faced. In Joel 1, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children unto another generation. Now, these people could have easily said that they had never experienced anything like this at all. And I just wonder, how many times have you said the same thing over the past few weeks, over the past few months? How many times have you said, "Phew, I have never seen anything like this before"? And you probably have said you don't want to ever see anything like this ever again, I'm sure as well. But so many of us have experienced that. Well, they were saying that in Joel's day as well. And they were saying that they had never experienced anything like this, and that what they were going through was something they were sure they would be talking about to their children, to their grandchildren, and from one generation to the next. Now, in this, Joel describes a plague unlike any other plague that the people had faced. And while the situation that we're facing today in this pandemic is different, I think you'll notice a number of things that sound familiar. First of all, their land had been invaded. Verse 4 says, "What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten." In the ancient world, especially in Palestine, a locust plague is a dreaded event. And what you have here is the land being invaded by four different species of locusts. The chewing locust comes, and colony of locusts just goes through the land, eating up the vegetation. And once they finally leave, and the people maybe start to feel some relief that now the chewing locust is leaving, then the colony of the swarming locust comes, and they began to feed on what was left. As they lead another species, the crawling locust comes and continues to eat up what is left. And then finally, the fourth, the consuming locust, comes to clean up what very little is still there. The destruction was complete and must have brought intense panic and anxiety for the people. So, I know that a locust plague is not necessarily something that's familiar to all of us today, but I came across this quote from a Syrian source that I think will help us to appreciate what this was like. This describes a locust plague that has happened fairly recent in Syria. "When they approached our garden, all the farm servants were employed to keep them off, but to no avail. Though our men broke their ranks for a moment, no sooner had they passed the men that they closed again and marched forward through hedges and ditches. They first devour grass and leaves, fruit and foliage, and then everything that is green and juicy. They attack the young branches of trees, then the hard bark of the trunks. The fields finished, they invade towns and houses in search of stores. Victuals of all kinds, hay, straw, and even linen and woolen clothes and leather bottles, they consume and tear in pieces," end quote. Joel was describing a time when his people had been hit not just by one locust plague, but four consecutive locust plagues. Which I know that's kind of what we feel like this year. It just seems like all of these turbulent situations, the racial injustices and the conflict and tension over racism in our country, the coronavirus pandemic that just continues to hit, and the changes that have happened in our schools and our homes and our businesses, the election and all of the unrest that circulates that. It just seems like, you know, one problem comes, and then before we've even dealt with it, another comes, and then another. It is a time unlike any other that we have faced in this generation. And Joel's people were saying the same back then. And that's why I connect with this passage. The second thing is that their food was depleted. Verse 7, he has laid waste my vine, ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. The people anxiously wondered, how would they feed their families? How would they take care of each other? And likewise, in our own country, we watched as the shelves have been bare, and we have wondered whether or not our resources would be depleted by what we're going through. And maybe even now, we wonder about that, realizing that we haven't yet seen the end of this thing. Not only that, but the temple was emptied. Verse 9 says, the grain offering, the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The people could go to the temple with their sacrifices, but because of the plague, they had nothing to offer. They had no produce, and furthermore, they had nothing to feed their flocks and herds. So everything they had was suffering, and they really had no offering to make. And likewise, in our own generation, I don't remember ever seeing a time when so many churches have had to close and their buildings are empty, so many gospel meetings have been canceled, so many other ministries are on hold. It is a strange, strange time that we're living in. But regardless of whether or not we're meeting in public, God's people need to continue to cry out to the Lord, just as Joel urged his people to do so long ago. Not only were they facing these problems, but their health was threatened. Verse 16 says, is not the food cut off before our eyes? Once the locusts had eaten up everything, that didn't leave much for the people, and it certainly didn't leave much for their flocks and herds. And now that they're starving, they find their own health depleted. And furthermore, there's the stress of the situation, and that has an adverse effect on their health as well. And you know, and here we find ourselves in this health crisis that's affecting us physically and emotionally. And with that, it's affecting us spiritually. In addition to all of these other things, their economy was crashing. These people depended on their vines, their soil, their pastures for their well-being, their financial standing. And all of that was completely barren. Verse 17 and 18 says, the seed shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down. The grain is withered, and how the animals groan. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture, and even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. And we too are wondering how this pandemic is going to affect our economy. We're wondering how the election will affect our economy. Many people are out of work, many businesses are suffering, and people are wondering, what are we going to do next? So I think you understand why I connect with this passage, especially in light of what we are facing and going through now. But not only does this book talk about a plague from God, but it also talks about a warning from God. Because the main question on Joel's mind and on everyone's mind is, will there be more to come? When is the end of this thing? As you come over to Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Verse 3 says, A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Verse 11 says, The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? In this book, we see an expression that's common throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament regarding the day of the Lord. And this is a phrase that refers to any occasion when God would intervene or act on in his people. Sometimes it was for their protection and their safety. Sometimes it was for their punishment. But it was a point at which God could no longer sit on the sidelines. He had to get involved. And all of this is pointing ultimately to that great day of the Lord when Jesus will come back and the final judgment will take place. So this locust plague was a day of the Lord, so to speak. It was a time when God needed to act, and this time in discipline of his people, in order to provoke the changes that needed to happen. And what Joel is saying to the people here is that if this plague is not successful in getting God's message across, then there will be more to come. The people had experienced a time of prosperity prior to the plague. The land was like the Garden of Eden. But their wealth had not produced gratitude toward God. They had forgotten about God, and they were living lives of luxury and not giving praise and giving glory to God for the good things that he had provided. So, unfortunately, the people needed these locusts to kind of come in and remind them that there are more important things than their financial well-being and their physical well-being. And the people needed to heed the locusts before God would send another army to get his message across. Now, let me hit the pause button here for a moment. I want to make something very clear. I'm not saying that God purposefully sent the COVID-19 virus into our world today. We don't live in the Garden of Eden anymore, and because of that, cancer and viruses and sicknesses, these are part of the world that we live in today. If we could still eat from the tree of life, we wouldn't have to worry about these things. But we can't, and so we do. So I am not privy to the behind-the-scenes information today like Joel was. So I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to convince you of that. I'm not a prophet as Joel was. But here's what I am saying. I can see many things in our society that do need to change. When I see atheism running rampant in our world today, when I see intellectuals who have convinced themselves that there's nothing that happens outside of this world, outside of this universe, that science is the explanation for who we are, where we came from, and where we're going, and that there is no creator, no designer of this wonderful world in which we live, that needs to change. Evidence of our God is everywhere we look. With atheism has come blasphemy. People mock and ridicule the concept of God. People who believe in God are looked down upon as ignorant people who are uninformed and uneducated. And because people have a lack of respect for God, we see life digressing into immorality and indecency. I find it appalling that we live in a world that would even consider the concept of a partial birth abortion? That we would even consider terminating the life of an innocent child before they're even born? And yet, we live in a world where this is commonplace. And it happens millions of times every year. If not partial birth abortions, other types of abortions that take place. Dishonesty and brutality run rampant in our world. This needs to change. I don't know God's involvement in bringing COVID-19 into the world, but if COVID-19 will wake us up and help us realize the things that need to change in our relationship with God, then that's a good thing. Each judgment in this world points forward to the ultimate day of the Lord, the final judgment. And that will be an eternal judgment. And listen, folks, we need to be getting ready for that. The Bible says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:10-13. That day is coming. There's no doubt about it. So what should we do? Well, Joel 2:12-13 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." What needed to happen back then? Joel said the people needed to turn back to God with sincere devotion. Don't just tear your garments, put on this show that you're going to turn back to the Lord and then never actually do anything about it. He says, rend your heart, not your garments. It needs to be real. It needs to come from the heart. The people needed to mourn over their sin with godly sorrow. They needed to be ashamed of how their actions had offended God. And they needed to repent. They needed to turn back to God. They needed to change the way they were living their lives. I don't care what time you're living in. Those are words that we all need to hear. And we all need to take a personal look at our own lives and see if there are changes that we need to make in order to be right with God. If we do respond in that way, what will God do? Well, let's go back to the book of Joel. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Verse 18 says, "The Lord will be zealous for his land. He will pity his people." Verse 25, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." If they would reverse their lives, God would reverse their misfortune. He would restore his passion for the people, and he would bless them. God can make it as though the plague never even happened. God could take their mourning and their fear and turn it into rejoicing and praise, and the people would recognize God in a brand new way. You know, as we stop and reflect on our own history as a nation, we can see how our country has been blessed. God has brought us through so many trials, so many wars, so many times of poverty and famine. But the main question is, will we continue to enjoy God's providence upon us? If we want to, we must hear carefully what the Bible says. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. This is the time for this generation of Americans to have a revival of faith, to turn back to our Creator, to turn back to our Lord Jesus Christ, who faithfully live for Him and fervently serve His kingdom. God's people back then could trust that God had great things in store for them. And folks, we can trust in that same thing today. We must realize that this pandemic has not changed the Lord's mission. He is still committed to one thing, which is seeking and saving the lost. I believe that this situation has brought greater opportunities to His church for outreach. So many are using technology and social media in a way to continue to get the message out and are probably reaching parts of the world that they've never reached before. That's a blessing. God has a way of bringing blessings out of even the most painful and difficult situations. And I pray that we will come away with a renewed passion to reach our community, to serve God faithfully. I cannot say for sure what plans God has for the future, but I do know that God is always hoping that people will turn to Him. And I know that the day of the Lord is coming, and we need to be ready. So as our program closes today, I simply ask you, my friend, are you ready for the day of the Lord to come? How can you be sure? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that if we want to be saved and want to be forgiven of our sins, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24. We must repent of our sins and turn away from our old life so that we can turn to the Lord. Luke 13:3. We must confess our faith in Christ, for with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Romans 10:10. We must be baptized into the name of Christ so that our sins can be washed away. Acts 2:38. If you haven't taken those steps, we are hoping and praying that we can help you to take those steps very soon. And we hope that you'll reach out to us and give us an opportunity. Friend, if there's anything that we can do to help you, please contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. and a light unto me.